What is up, Frugal Nuts? Got a very special live stream for you today, and it's not going to be a super long one, but I have got the principal behind the Ballsack project in coin, and he's going to come on today and talk to us about that and a little bit about the project and what it takes to run a meme coin, which is something I still don't know a ton about personally. We are, just a reminder, we are live on YouTube, on Kick, and on X, not on Twitch, because I'm going through Restream, which I'm going to do for my interviews. I have to do it right from the platform. I'm not able to do it on OBS, but I can, and it's going to have, eventually it's going to have that little logo because I'm dropping down to another tier because I got a better way to stream through OBS that is free and goes to 4 platforms. And even more, plus it can do YouTube vertical, which is pretty cool. But enough of my blabbing. Make sure you ask some questions. I want to hear what you guys have to say about the Ballsack. It's an interesting project in the Algorand ecosystem. You feel a little funny talking about it sometimes, but it's pretty cool. So enough about all that. Why don't I bring on our man here, Ballsackus Maximus, and here he is.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks
for having me on, Frugal, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the Ballsack coin and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, so I'm not the original creator of the coin. I got on down the road a little bit later after all the hype broke out. But from my understanding, the coin was created in the meat department of a Kroger, where Ballsack Algo and some of his coworkers were just messing around, and he decided that he wanted to create a meme coin on Rug Ninja, and he's all into these Muppet faces, so he just found this hilarious, drew up this hilarious Ballsack puppet and threw that face on there, man. And the hilarious thing is that the dude who started it didn't even buy any of the token when it was released. So, really? Like, he dropped, a couple algos into it, and the thing just started running like crazy. And the community kind of jumped around him and started giving him some of their Ballsack, I guess you could say. So, but yeah, that's how it all started. And I just, mm-hmm. It's one of those projects that just seems so organic in the Algorand community. I hadn't really seen anything much like it, just because there's really not anyone behind it. It's just kind of people in the community that rallied together on either Twitter or Discord and just started building funny stuff, or actually we're starting to build some actual real utility with the coin in the background. And I can talk about that whenever.
Definitely. Well, let's jump into that second part of the question. How did you become involved in this? And then my understanding, you're kind of the main guy now. Is that right?
I'm in charge of like marketing for the most part. It seems like there's a handful of people that are pretty involved in our X community chat and then on Discord, and they've all kind of like jumped into like different parts that they have a specialty in. But I basically have been just making all the content on X, created the crazy Hawaiian shirt. We got Mark V to get involved in for Algoland. I've been working with them on that, NJ Algo, just to create the design of that shirt, get it out to some people at the in Algorand to actually wear. They wore it in Buenos Aires, which was hilarious. Randomly, we had no idea when they were going to wear this shirt, but I sent Mark out one, and we were able to work with another guy on X that actually, Yeser Art on there, it's his handle, and he was able to create a store for us. We got these cool Ballsack hats. We made, there's even Ballsack boxers, Hawaiian shirts. Right. So it's cool how random people just come together to make. I had no idea about running an online store and how that works. So
yeah, fair enough. Why do you think Ballsack seems to get a lot of attention, and you see some of these meme coins, and some of them like really take off. They get the community involved. Some like they're just kind of duds. Some go really strong and then kind of fall off. What do you think makes the difference on that? What do you think makes some kind of take off and others not?
I honestly think it mostly has to do with just the look of the meme, I guess. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of money back behind Ballsack. I think when it was taking off, I heard there was a lot of Solana people and Cardano people that jumped over to Algo to push that price up. But I mean, I think long term, the Ballsack logo and the whole just randomness behind it and how it's just organic, there isn't really a team per se, just makes it kind of a unique thing, as it's just like kind of anyone can jump in. I mean, if there's anyone in the Algorand community that's watching this and they're like, hey, I think I can contribute in some way, reach out to us on X or Twitter or Discord. And I think that's the community aspect of it is the way it takes off. But yeah, I mean, everybody's been in a slump the last year or so. You know, it's been rough for everyone.
Of course. But
we're still working in the back end, and we have this crazy DEX called BallSwap that's just sitting there ready to go on the sidelines. That's actually, it's pretty cool. I can talk about that a little bit if you'd like.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to that, some of the utility and some of the projects in a second. I guess one of the things I thought about with this is, from what I've observed, like coins particularly with meme coins, it's like if no one's talking about them, they kind of wither. And it seems like with Ballsack, that sort of happened organically, that you have a lot of different people who are talking about this on X, on other platforms on a daily basis. And that kind of keeps things running. Is that your observation?
Yeah, I mean, when to keep it relevant, you just, you know, have to keep kind of posting, have to keep making content, even so, though sometimes it can be crude or ridiculous. It just needs to get people involved. I mean, we have like probably 10,000 like memes on our Discord just ready to go. I probably spent way too much of my time making content for Ballsack, but it's one of those things that's just fun to do. And I'm not doing it because I feel like super pressured, like I have to make more content today, you know. But yeah, I think you definitely have to keep talking about it, keep trying to innovate, come out with new ideas, get people that just interact with the ecosystem of that meme coin to make it viable down the road. I mean, it has been a rough year for memes of any kind, I think. So.
Yeah. Just a rough year for crypto, really, you know.
Yeah.
You mentioned some utility. Tell me about that.
So, I mean, we have this DEX that's built out. It's called BallSwap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of these things that's like, it actually works really well. We have like Liquid Auth hooked up to it. So you can just jump onto this swap, you know, with your Gmail account or whatnot. And basically, there's some like interesting features. I won't give everything out right now, but there's like some sort of gambling features involved with it to make you actually use the swap. Because, you know, we were thinking like, why would I just use Tiny Man or jump on Haystack, you know, whatever. But right. it's kind of just a fun swap that has like one of the coolest features is like when you swap a token, so swap some Algo for Ballsack or vice versa. Like instead of it just saying like cool, the transaction successful, like it has these hilarious animations that go along with the transactions, which I'm surprised no one's ever done before. So like, you know, you'll swap a token and then a cool little Ballsack animation will pop up while the transaction's going through, which is really neat.
That's perfect. Cause you know, one of the things I observed in crypto over the years is like a lot of the stuff that actually gets built and not necessarily the people like say making meme coins or creators in the space, but like the people who are building the stuff tend to be, as you may expect, you know, tend to be engineers, and everything is done from an engineering perspective. And you don't see a lot of, you know, I always felt like the UI was kind of left out. You know, people don't really think about the user experience. They're thinking from like, oh, I need to accomplish, you know, object A, B, and C, and not really caring about how that happens along the way. So when I hear something like that, I think that's kind of like the next phase is like, how do you make this stuff actually entertaining and usable? And so, yeah, I think that perfectly fits that ethos.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of these things that's just fun to use. I don't know why other projects like when you swap, there should be some like, you know, who cares, a lightning bolt or some craziness that goes down, you know, when it happens. It just makes it seem cool, you know, when you're using it. But there's an AI agent built into it. I mean, if you you don't speak English. We got an AI agent on there that, you know, you could buy Ballsack in Mandarin if you wanted to, dude. Like it's got its own chat feature. So inside the swap, you can post pictures and chat with other people in the community. And it has some utility because we launched that Ballsack Black card about, I don't know, 9 months ago, kind of when the Folks Finance card came out and there was all that debacle about,
yeah, I remember that.
It sold out too quick. I didn't get any or whatever. We made like a funny Ballsack Black MFT card and it's linked in with the swap. So if you own that card, you'll get a percentage of the transaction fees that go through the swap. So
nice.
We have it ready to go. It's just one of those things where like, it's just not the right time in the market conditions to drop something like that, just because it probably won't get utilized. So, I mean, we're building in the background, but we're just waiting for that right time, man. I think Munko played it right. Like last time when they dropped their thing, it was just like the perfect timing. And that coin just made a huge splash. So we're trying to wait for the right time, but we're still all here. Still ready for some cool stuff to happen. Got some NFT collections ready to go down that are hand drawn by one of the guys who runs our clothing shop, basically. So there's all these different people kind of working, you know, kind of like doing their little like side projects, like on their spare time. Everyone has full-time jobs, obviously, but it's just a cool community. And I don't see it going anywhere as long as people still want to have fun, you know?
How has the foundation react in, you know, the Algorand people? How have they reacted to you? I know you said like Mark wore the shirt, which really surprised me. I actually thought it was AI at first, but
I thought it was hilarious. Like I saw the like kind of like the vibe that Algorand was having. Like they were, you know, putting teasers out a while back, and I was like, maybe I can make this like ridiculous shirt, you know, that doesn't like have like the Ballsack guy on it. Cause there's no way the foundation's going to like wear that, you know, or anything like that. But yeah, I came up with that Hawaiian shirt and then started posting it. It started getting like huge responses on X, you know, like a couple thousand views. Then I threw Mark V in it with AI and he reached out. He was like, this is hilarious. Like, I want one of those shirts. So then, yeah, he just shot me his address and I just mailed him one down to Cali. And he just kind of went silent after that. And I was like, did Mark V just steal my shirt? And I think I could wear it. But yeah, he eventually just busted it out in Buenos Aires. And we had actually no contact with them about, they did that little thing in Algoland. I think it was like the 13th or 12th week where they were giving away different meme coin tokens on Algorand. But God, that was like,
by the way, for people listening that might not know, Mark is the CMO of Algorand and he formerly worked at Google. He was like the guy that will help launch the Android phone. So pretty big deal. This is the guy who's now wearing the Ballsack shirt, but I just want to give people, that context in case they didn't know, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, yeah. Mark V is the man. We love that guy. It was just funny. Like these random people from like the foundation would just start entering the community chat. It was like one day MJ Algo arrives in there and he's like, hey everyone, I bought a shirt. We're like, this seems strange. Like why do all these people keep buying? Like, we had no idea what was going on. And then one day it was like, oh my God, why is Ballsack up 150%? The foundation was like buying just couple thousand dollars of Ballsack coin, which the community had some mixed responses on, but it is what it is. But yeah, they've been pretty supportive, man. I think they think it's hilarious. John Woods is still in our community chat, man, which is super funny because he just pops in, and I know he's the CEO of Nillion now or whatever today, but.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big announcement that just happened today, I think, is that he was the CTO of Nillion, and now he announced today that they made him the CEO.
So yeah, he's still coming in.
That's great. I mean, he's still pretty involved in Algorand, and I know that he would come back as CEO if that was an option.
Dude, that would be. I think that's what we need. I'm not like totally anti any of the people at the foundation or anything. Sometimes I make ridiculous content on Twitter, or X, but I'm just having it. Hopefully no one takes me too serious. It's just fun. But I think John would be a great, great CEO. So he had a lot of energy. He got people looking at us, you know.
He had that rare quality where he's super super amazing on the technical side. He understands blockchain technology like better than just about anybody, but he's still like, he's still got a sense of charisma and he's very good at explaining things. So I think he's just one of those rare individuals, and that's, he had kind of like been basically the spokesperson for Algorand when he was CTO, just because I think they recognized that. It came on my show pretty early on because I had done a reaction video to his appearance on BitBoy Crypto, and he saw it and he's like, "Hey, this is great, man. I want to come on your show too. And I was like, "That sounds awesome." You know, that's what you want to see. Now, it was interesting too, because he sent me to his assistant and I ended up getting like going through the ringer with like two different assistants. And I thought like, this is not an efficient system. So I had to kind of reach out to him and be like, "Hey dude, I'm trying to set this up with you. And like, this is what's going on, man." And I think he helped straighten it all out and it was all good. But yeah. Algo Gary in the chat saying, "Thanks to the Master Sack for coming on."
Well, thanks. Thanks. I'll go, Gary, bro. Hit us up in our community chat, dude, on Twitter, or follow me. Mm-hmm. I'll add you, man. Appreciate it.
He should. He's been an OG follower of the Frugal BC show. Good to see him in the chat. how did you get into crypto and then Algorand to begin with?
Honestly, I used to work for like Apple Computers a long time ago in Austin, Texas, like 2014, wow. In the sales side of things, not like at a store, but like answering, back when people didn't trust online sales, they used to call Apple directly. And there was a bunch of guys there that were really into Bitcoin at the time. And they were really into like, they were mainly just using it for that Silk Road kind of stuff. And I was just like, I don't know, guys, I don't really care about this at the time. That's the first time I heard about it in 2014. Never bought any back then. And then I kind of just wrote it off until I saw that Silvio podcast with Lex Fridman. I'm assuming I'm not the only one who watched that and was like, "Man, this makes a lot of sense." And then I started getting into Algorand pretty hardcore around 2021. And yeah, I think a lot of people jumped on Algorand with that Lex Fridman podcast. And when Silvio was really out there, just like,
it was,
this is the future, you know?
Yeah. And I saw that one. I actually got into Algorand, I want to say it was 2019, because it was when Coinbase still offered staking rewards.
Okay.
And then they ended that, but I found out that you could, if you got a wallet and you just had to, you could earn staking with your Algorand wallet, and you just had to have it in the wallet at the time. That's all you had to do. And so I was like, "Well, that sounds pretty good. I'll just move it over to this wallet." And that's kind of like started all the stuff going into the ecosystem. And I'd experimented with other stuff like Ethereum based stuff. I think I did something on Compound, and you just always run into all these problems, and I found it really annoying. So then when I tried stuff at Algorand, I was like, "Oh, this stuff actually works." Cause I remember reading in a crypto newsletter about Yieldly launching. It was like the first like DEX, or not DEX, it wasn't a DEX, but like the first like DeFi platform on Algorand. I was like, "Hey, I have Algorand. I'm going to go do this." And well, we all know how Yieldly went, but in fact, I think your handle has some indications about how you feel about Yieldly. But
I think we all got burnt on that guy, man. It was really cool. And that no loss lottery happened at the beginning, man. Like people were throwing like 80K in there every like couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And
for real.
And then I had some money in there, and then one day it was just like, "Oh, all this stuff's locked up. You can't do anything with it. Like, it's gone." It's like, I don't know. I'm not really cool with all this. So, yeah, nope. It left a dirty taste in my mouth. But I mean, I guess when you're an early adopter, you're just going to get burnt. And if you hit it big, you might hit it big. But yeah, Yieldly was not a fun experience for me.
No, I think I lucked out, because I think I had moved. I think when Tiny Man launched, I think I had pretty much moved most of my stuff over there, because I didn't really have anything locked up on Yieldly, luckily. Definitely have lost my shirt on some other things. Do you remember Algo Stake? I was running experiments. I did like this almost year-long DeFi experiment. And I had three different platforms, and AlgoStake was one of them. And AlgoStake shut down, and you know, the $100 that I put in as like a experiment went down to, you know, I ended up selling everything for like $15 or something. I'm like, yep. Well, there's an experiment result. So
seems like things are getting a lot better though. Like the platforms we have are battle tested. Like I trust folks, Tinyman. Hey, I mean, I just seems like these they've done their work. It's not, I'm not too worried about using those platforms or staking on them or yield farming, but yeah, man.
what do you seek out these days? Cause I used to do a lot of LP stuff and I kind of soured on it. It seems like you end up kind of losing more in asset depreciation unless you're really careful. And then it seems like the Algo USDC pools aren't as lucrative as they used to be. I kind of miss DeFi rewards, frankly. I just made a lot more on them.
I miss the days where, yeah, you could just hold Algo and pair a wallet and you just like would open it up occasionally and just saw this number kept cranking up. But mm-hmm. No, I kind of got out of the liquidity pool stuff. I still hold a bunch of Aura and Algo and an LP pool on Tinyman that I just not gonna let that go. I think Aura down the road might do big things, but most of the time, dude, Myth Finance. I mean, I think that's the guy. Like, I'm a huge Alpha Arcade, Haystack person, Folks person. So, I mean, I just move my Algo back and forth on Myth depending on where the best yield's gonna be. I don't run my own node at home, dude. I got like two little kids and I can imagine them like ripping the, you know, internet out or destroying it. Like I don't have a safe place to run that right now. So I mostly just use Myth, man. I think Myth has been a great, great tool for most people in the Allgrind ecosystem. Hopefully people know about it. It's pretty awesome.
Nice. Yeah. I might have to, open up an experiment on that. I've been doing that for my channel members, weekly. I kind of keep track of all my experiments. And then after like a few months, I'll do a video for everybody on it. That's like the main thing that I want to do with my channel generally is like, I just try this stuff out and say, well, this is how it actually works. Like this is the good part. This is the bad. And you know, because I would get so frustrated when I got into crypto and you'd see these videos where they're like, oh, yeah, this is the greatest thing ever and blah, blah, blah. And then you try it out and there's like 10 things they didn't tell you. So I want to acknowledge some chats here. Billy Willie asking, is this the Ballsat guy? Well, it is kind of one of the main folks behind it, not the original founder, but one of the main folks. And then we got Algo Gary saying, we paved the way, but no quality check before or after. Talking about Yieldly, I missed out on Yieldly, but the MyAlgo hack hit me in the ball sack.
Yeah, that one was rough, man. MyAlgo hack, God, I still remember that day when I heard about it happening. I was just like so paranoid because I still had some stuff on there. Luckily, I was able to get it off before my wallet got compromised, so...
Yeah, I kicked it into gear that when I saw it, it was like a Monday night. I had worked already like, I don't know, like 11 hours or something. And I pull up, I lay down on the couch and I pull up Twitter and I see all the stuff about my Algo. And I was like, I got to get on this. I got to make a video. And I made three videos in 3 days about the My Algo hack because new stuff kept coming out. And I wanted to get the information out. I wanted people to know that they had to like, you know, get their stuff off of there or rekey their wallet. You know, mine's rekeyed to this day because of my Algo hack. And I got people, it's heartbreaking, you know, though, because like people even as early, you know, even like I think 3 or 4 months ago, I got a message saying, hey, my stuff is lost on my Algo. What do I do? And I'm like, sorry, man, there's nothing you can do. It sucks, you know.
There's still people posting about it like on Reddit occasionally. And it sucks that they never like found out really, like they never found the person responsible for, obviously they had some insider info and they were able to take advantage of that system. But yeah, it sucks that at least Algo got past all of that though. I mean, at least we're still standing, we're strong. And for the most part, man, I mean, I still believe in Algorand. I've used a lot of the other stuff and it's just, we're really talking about like top end blockchain grade tech that actually really works. I don't really see a lot of that out there right now.
No.
So, I mean, Hedera is great, you know, but it's just like, there's not a lot of options. And I think once Once there's actually some kind of Clarity Act or some kind of law that passes that clears all this mess out, I think you're going to see these blockchains that actually have the tech sorted out just go stupid.
I think that's the big, that'll be the big unlock when they finally get the Clarity Act or something like it passed, assuming that happens. I think there's a lot of people, a lot of institutions sitting on the sideline waiting for that to happen. Sure. So, well, you've been very generous with your time. I appreciate you being on. And what's next for BallSack and what's next for you?
We're just going to try to finish up this swap, get this thing fine-tuned, and just keep making content, throw out some more merch, and hopefully get this NFT collection to drop here some point in probably mid 2026. And I mean, we got stuff ready to go. It's just like we're waiting for the market just to turn around, and then we're going to start going hard. But it's just we just don't feel like it's the right time to drop anything with how crazy the market is right now, and just the interest on Twitter and X is just so low for this kind of stuff right now. But I mean, that could flip on a dime. Next week it could just be full on. We have no idea. But we're ready to go. We got all this stuff in the background, and I'm going to keep still making funny ass content and trying to help out in any way I can. And if anybody's watching this wants to come help or join us, just follow me on X or Twitter. And I really appreciate Frugal having me on. It's been awesome, dude. Always wanted to come on your show and say what's up. So
yeah, appreciate you being on here. And I want to give people a chance to, I believe it is, your handle is FUCKYieldly. Keeping it PC for the YouTube algorithms. And what's the best way for people to find the Discord for BallSack?
The best way for people to find the Discord would just be to most likely just give me a DM, or most probably just follow me and give me a DM on Twitter. Then I can get you into the community chat and send you guys the Discord link. It'd be the easiest way for us.
Okay, right on. Well, I appreciate you coming on today, and good luck with everything.
All right, man. You have a good rest of your day, and hopefully it doesn't get too cold over there, bro.
It's going to. Trust me. So take care easy, man.
Thanks, Brugal. Bye, bro.
Bye-bye. All right. That was fun. Everyone enjoy that. I just thought it'd be interesting to have him on. And I do want to do more interviews. And one of the reasons I haven't done a ton of them is I have to use the browser. Oh, Catlin's in the chat. Sorry, you just missed the and it was a little bit random. I probably should have put out an alert on YouTube on the post maybe. But we just had the main guy behind BallSack. He wasn't the coin and upcoming NFT project, and apparently a DEX in the works too. So that's kind of interesting, called the Ball Swap. And he's not the guy who started it, but he's kind of like the guy leading the charge a bit. Sounds like a lot of community involved in it. Meme coins are a really interesting space. So, it's always interesting to talk to people who are building this stuff and just find out like, what are they doing? You know, why do they do what they do, and how does this stuff work? So, it was cool having him on. Absolutely. Very interesting. And got a couple other ones I want to do. Now, the main reason, like I said, I don't do a ton of these is I can't use my good camera. I have to use the browser on Restream, and I'm going to be switching because it's pretty expensive to use Restream, and it still doesn't do a lot of the stuff I would like it to. And then I'm using Stream Elements right in OBS, and it allows me to go to like four different places, like four different... I can stream to four different places. So I'm streaming to YouTube, Kick, Twitch, and X. On Restream, the one I'm paying for, I can only do three. So it's like, well, why would you do that, right? It doesn't make any sense. And so that's that. So I'm gonna be dropping Restream, which still allows you to stream to two platforms. And I'm just going to use that for interviews. It's going to have the little logo. Oh, well. You guys are just going to have to deal with it, I think, because it's just not worth it. It's not worth paying the yearly fee just to remove the logo when I have something that is for free that works better. I just really wish they had a video conferencing element to it, which they do not. I might be able to use Gmail, too, and then just bring that up on OBS. So we'll see about that. We'll see. So anyway, I do want to thank Balsakis Maximus for coming on. It was a lot of fun having him on the show. You know, we had some interesting interviews in the last few months, and you know, I reach out a lot. It's hard. It's actually hard to get people to come on. I'm glad this worked out with Mr. Maximus here, and that was fun. But they can be kind of tough to arrange, and my schedule is pretty busy too, so that's that's a challenge because it takes me away from other things. But it is fun. Yeah, Catlin says good stuff. I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. We've had, by the way, I do want to give a shout out. We had a channel member in the chat. It doesn't show up now, so I forgot about it, but it did come up. In fact, I just want to confirm this before we cut off the stream. I think we did have a let me see. Maybe not. Wait. Yep, we did have one. So Danny Yeldis, thanks. I probably butchered that. Thanks for coming on, a level 2 member. So appreciate that. And it showed up on the chat when I looked at it. Which, by the way, I totally forgot to. I had the monetization offs. There weren't a lot of people there anyway, so it's fine, but I figure I should probably put that on. Yeah, otherwise, there's not a whole lot for us to talk about. We got a big show tomorrow. So I'll maybe tease just a little bit of that. First off, we got apparently the Algorand Foundation is now a for-profit entity. It is no longer a non-profit entity. So that's a big one we're going to talk about tomorrow, because I think there's a lot of things to talk about in that. And also, I think from my comments, it appears that a lot of people don't really know how nonprofits work. I don't think they understand that you can still have revenue, that you can still make money. You just can't, it just doesn't get distributed to any kind of shareholders, or no one can take distributions from it. In other words, an individual can't profit from it, but a nonprofit definitely needs revenue, whether that be from donations or from, they can sell things. They can have memberships. There's a lot of different things that most of the time they do fundraisers and grants and things like that. But a nonprofit, it's not that you don't make money. It's that nobody who's in the nonprofit can like benefit from it. In other words, you know, I can have a job and they can pay me a salary, but I can't take like distributions. Like if I run a paper company and I own the paper company and the paper company makes $100,000 and I own it, it's not a board or anything, and I own it, I make $100,000 of profit after all the expenses, salaries, et cetera. Like that's my money, you know, and I can, there's different ways to structure it, but that's how a for-profit business works. Now I can have that same paper company be a nonprofit, but I can't, if it makes $100,000, that $100,000 has to stay in the company. In the organization, I don't get to take that myself. Now, maybe I can convince the board to up my salary. And I've seen it where, you know, a board will, like a person who starts a nonprofit will have the board be all their family members. And so when they want to increase in the salary, it's their family members. And they go, yep, sure enough, go ahead. So it's not impossible. I just want to point that out. But, I think people just don't understand that. So it's very interesting to me that the foundation is now going to be a for-profit. And also that they didn't really talk about that until she was on this Bloomberg interview yesterday. Stacey Warden was, and she talked about this. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, we'll talk about all that tomorrow. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Make sure to give the Balsakis Maximus a follow. He is F-U-C-K Yieldly, at F-C-U-C-K Yieldly. I'm just not saying that for the algorithms, even though they probably don't care anymore. But F-U-C-K Yieldly on X, and you can find their Discord too. Probably the main Balsak pages have that, so... otherwise, thanks for tuning in. If you're just coming in, we just had the interview about a half hour ago, started about a half hour ago. You can go back and watch it. It'll be available on replay. Otherwise, I'm Frugal BC. Thanks so much. We'll have the live stream at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. Otherwise, I will see